Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. I'm Kay Thompson.
And I'm Eric Payne.
And we are going to be doing news, information, and education and global issues here on Kay Thompson Live. God, there's so many hot topics that we have to talk about. And we're going to be talking to the City Council, let me see, Robert Marasco.
The City Clerk of Newark.
The City Clerk of Newark, thanks there. Yeah, mm-hmm. I momentarily forgot that. He's a Newark City Clerk, and he's been in office for a long period of time, good friend, and he's going to be giving us some information on the election. Congratulations to Raz Baraka.
Mm-hmm.
Raz Baraka. And I say Raz because, you know, when we interviewed Amiri, I guess about 3 weeks prior to his death, his father's death, he was on here on WLIB, on GoPro.
This
radio.
Is GoPro Radio Network.
Yes. Please
listen to the voices in your head. GoPro Radio Network. That's mm-hmm. where we are.
Yeah, we are trying to reach Robert Marasco right now, and he is city clerk in Newark, and we're going to be talking about the campaign. And as I was saying, we're going to be saying congratulations to Raz Baraka for winning as mayor of the city of Newark. You know, Newark is a very large city with a lot of problems,
mm-hmm.
and so we're going to see exactly what's happening now. Did you? You were, you know. Yeah. Okay. Let's try his phone again. We're waiting for.
Do we have Mr. Marasco? Are you there? Hello, Mr. Robert Marasco, City Clerk of Newark, New Jersey. This is Kay Thompson and Eric Payne. Do we have you on the line?
Hello.
Yes. Bob, how are you?
I'm here.
Kay Thompson here. Yeah, with my son Eric.
How are you, Mr. Marasco? This is Eric Payne here along with my mom, Kay Thompson, on the radio. How are you doing, sir?
Hi, folks. How are you?
Good.
We're doing great here. Now, you are the city clerk of the city of Newark. And
yes,
had
sir.
A big election there yesterday. What are your feelings? First of all, you know, I always wanted to know this. I met you a few years ago when my cousin was councilman. President of the City Council, Don Payne Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've always wondered, Mr. Marasco, what does a city clerk do? For those of us that don't know, and I count myself as one of those people that's not quite sure of that.
In essence, in New Jersey, a city clerk in a municipality such as Newark, a larger town, wears two hats. Under state law, he's the city clerk. And he's also the clerk to the council.
Mm-hmm.
In county government, you have two people like that. You have a county clerk, but then you also have the clerk to the freeholders. But
mm-hmm.
at the municipal level, it's combined into one person.
I see.
And the probably the number one duty of the city clerk. By the way, all the duties that I fulfill are by state law,
mm-hmm.
Not local law, although there's a few local laws also. But 95% of what we do here is mandated by state law. So one of the main functions is that the clerk is the what the law calls the secretary to the governing body, so that I am, in a sense, the business administrator for the city council.
Uh-huh.
Any administrative duties that the council must fulfill, such as the conduct of meetings, the keeping of minutes,
mm-hmm.
The preparation of legislation, all those functions that revolve around a legislative body, that's are the administrative duties of the clerk. So that's the greatest and primary role that puts me in, let's say, in touch with the public because of the council meetings. The other important role is that the city clerk is the municipal election officer, so that I conduct all the elections in the city, especially, of course, when we elect a mayor and council members every 4 years, or occasionally we also have special elections, as we did this past November when Donald Payne Jr.'s seat was filled. The vacancy was filled because, of course, he had gone to Congress. And so we held a special election in conjunction with the county clerk's election, the general election of November 4th. And so that's the most recent example of a special election to fill a vacancy. Other than being secretary to the city council and the election duties, there are many varied and scattered, I'll say, duties, such as in New Jersey we have the Open Public Records Act, which is called OPRA, O-P-R-A. So if a citizen wants to receive public documents, mine is the office that they go through, even if it's a record in the fire department. And the clerk is the repository, is also the custodian of records of all official documents for the city. So we have an archives, which we built a number of years ago, where we have all of the city's records. Currently, we have them back into the 1800s, although someday I hope to get the ones that go back into the late 1600s, which are now in the possession of the New Jersey Historical Society. But we didn't have a proper archives way back when, so I think around the time of the Civil War, we gave all our earlier documents to the Jersey Historical Society for safekeeping.
Now, Bob, listen, you don't go back to that time, do you?
Oh, absolutely. I think I was three when I started in 1860. No, at least that's what some people here in City Hall claim.
Bob, listen, you and I have been friends for a long period of time, and you've always treated me very nicely regarding any kind of records that I needed, and always so gracious. So we're so glad to have you on, because also you have been there during how many, you know, mayoralties, or should I say mayors, rather, mayoralty elections?
Well, Gibson.
Gibson,
James.
Okay.
Booker, and then Quintana for a short period, and now Baraka. So Baraka will be number five.
Number five. I thought you were there before that. You know?
No. Well, no, I was not here before Ken Gibson.
Okay.
Ken Gibson started well before I came.
That's it. If I can ask you a question, I want to get to the election, obviously, the big news from last night. But it piqued my interest because I'm into history, too. And it sounds like you're a gentleman who's into history as well, because you want to get those old records. Is that for historical record keeping that you can go back, or there's some information from the 1600s that you find that would be relevant for you today?
Well, again, as I say, almost everything single thing we do here is because of state laws. And state laws dictate which documents must be kept forever, such as the minutes of a council meeting and the original copies of legislation, so that there is a schedule by which we can have many records destroyed in a certain process when they reach a certain age. But as I just said, there are many that must be kept in perpetuity. Now, the funny thing is, under New Jersey law, I think the cutoff date, I might be slightly off on this, I think the cutoff date is 1900. Anything that's from prior to 1900, even if it's a bill saying how many rolls of toilet tissue they paid for, because it's before 1900, it's considered an historical document. So those things you can't destroy, no matter how mundane you and I might think the record is, because it's considered historical. And then, you know, scholars and students can go back into our records and even mundane things as that. How many, you know, how many horses did the police department have? Things of that sort are of interest to certain types of scholars. So, but more modern records, there are clear-cut ways of what you have to keep and what you can destroy.
Now, what about the new media? Now, how what form do you keep those records from years ago? I mean, are they now on, you know, computers and whatnot, or what?
Well, you know what? That is an excellent question. And unfortunately, whether it's the local, county, state, or federal level, laws never are always lagging behind where society is. So, for instance, you'll read every day in the paper that, well, we don't have the right laws to protect us from all the privacy issues or hacking issues that involve computers. And, you know, whether it's Google or Facebook, or the law simply is always, I don't know, perhaps 10 years behind what's actually happening in society. So just as that happens on a national level, it happens in every state and every town and county. So the laws have not yet caught up with how to preserve electronic records that we have in this day and age. We do have the beginnings of those laws. We do have some laws in that regard. But I don't believe they're fully composed enough yet to cover the multiplicity of options. So, they don't address things as Twitters, you know, and things of that sort.
Bob, in other words, you have a lot of papers, a lot of books. Where is this, you know, kept?
Where is it kept?
Yeah, and it must be some building. It must be some huge, you know, place.
Well, believe it or not, until about 1995, roughly, they were kept in what I call the attic, which was an air-conditioned large part of the fourth floor of City Hall. And because the building is so old, it has ceilings that are, you know, like 16 feet high in some places. And that huge one wing of City Hall had been double-tiered with this, I guess it was steel gratings, so that it was turned into two floors. Because the ceilings were so high. And all the records that we had were packed into this attic-like place that was, it was literally like an unfinished attic.
Bob, we do have to go for a break in just about a few seconds, but just finish that sentence and then we're going to go for a break because I have a couple
So we built an archives in an abandoned building that was a block from City Hall, and now we've won awards as the best city archives in New Jersey, and we use that facility.
Is that the big building down on the highway down there?
That's no, this is on Halsey Street, just a block from Broad Street and City Hall.
Okay. All right. I think we're about ready to go for a break right now. It says 1 minute to break, so we will be right back. Stay with us. We're talking to the city clerk of Newark, New Jersey. His name is Robert Marasco, and he has been there like forever. Right, Robert? We'll be right back, everyone. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed on GoPro Radio Network shows are solely those of the speakers and are not necessarily the views or opinions of GoPro Radio Network, Inc. or its affiliates. These broadcasts are provided on the understanding that they do not constitute professional advice or services. Individuals who speak in these broadcasts express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. GoPro Radio Networks and its affiliates do not necessarily endorse or oppose any particular opinion or conclusion discussed in these broadcasts. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute these broadcasts in any way without the express permission of GoPro Radio Networks, Inc. GoPro Radio Networks assumes no liability for any of your activities in connection with these broadcasts or for your use of these broadcasts in connection with your website, computer, or playing device.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And we're back on the Kate Thompson Live Show. My name is Eric Payne. I'm the co-host of My Mom with My Mom, Kate Thompson.
Yes, right
and
here.
And we have Mr. Robert Marasco, City Clerk of the City of Newark. Mr. Marasco, I can imagine, just to put a button on our historical discussion about the records, I can imagine that it probably is of interest. I would be interested to see some of the issues that they had to debate. You know, when you talk about the minutes from the city council meetings, it would really be interesting to see the issues that they were dealing with, you know, around the 1600s and as time went on. And also even, you know, the issue of slavery and the Civil War, you know, you can get a real, a total documentation of the history of the city of Newark, of course, and the state and county and as well as the country. It must be something that's really interesting. Have you ever had the opportunity to look through some of these old minutes? I know that you're incredibly busy there and that you have a lot of responsibility, but have you ever had an opportunity to look at some really old records and find some?
Well, as you said, Eric, you're a history buff, and I'm a history buff, which helped push me to try and build the new archives that we have just a block from City Hall. And what we're trying to do now is to engage the newer colleges to perhaps form a consortium. Let's say the Newark Public Library, the main branch, which is an incredible treasure trove of the history of Newark, and also the college librarians, and try and put together like a working group of ourselves with the city records and the other archival departments that are here in the city, and have a little synergistic effect so that we share information, maybe do programs together for the public, that sort of thing. What we're also working toward is starting to open our records to scholars, perhaps political scientists, sociologists, and so forth, and their graduate students who would love to use the records, you know, as a source of reference and for the basis of writing their studies.
Yeah.
So we're just beginning to start to do things like that, to open up the records so they can really be aired and of more use to the colleges and the public at large.
Now, when some students come down there from the different colleges, what do you find? Do you have a main area that most of them, you know, are concerned with when they come down there?
Well, what we've done in the last few years with the help of a professional archival personnel is we have two vaults in the archives where the really valuable historic documents are kept.
Really,
and those vaults,
what's happening? What's really valuable?
Well, for instance, the earliest records we have, which, you know, perhaps of the town meetings, anything which the archivists have deemed to be the most critical, which is normally what is oldest and what is most showing about the town. So perhaps if there were some books privately written about the town that came into our possession, and they were, let's say, from the 1800s. Plus, the city itself, of course, we have many records from the town meetings where of course, the minutes were written in hand by people who were on the payroll, and their title was scribe.
Wow.
They were trained, you know, in excellent handwriting.
Right.
Because all of the documents in those days were, of course, handwritten.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So we have two vaults where those very special records are kept. And, of course, they're fireproof. They're temperature controlled.
Right.
The,
that was the next question.
The fire systems are not water.
Right.
They're special so that, you know, the documents would not be damaged in the event of a fire. They have very special type climate controls for those two rooms.
Right.
That's where the most precious documents are.
And those are the ones that probably have been scribed with a pen and quill
yeah,
back in those days,
absolutely.
I can imagine at some point.
Yes, and you know what, Eric? When if you open one of these books very carefully, you can read their writing as though they wrote it yesterday because they were trained in those days that was their trade.
Right.
Just like a plumber or a carpenter, their handwriting was crystal clear. And you can read those minutes and read the laws just as if they were on a computer screen today.
Wow, that is...
And it's all handwritten.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating?
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, just to look at something like that from that long
from
ago.
Those, yeah.
You know, I'm just sometimes that stuff amazes me. But I don't want to. I mean, we can talk about history
yeah.
a lot. But Mr. Marasco, so we had the election last night, and Raz Baraka was victorious. Congratulations
yes.
to him.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Was there a large voter turnout from what as compared to other mayoral races? How was this turnout?
Turnout itself. I would have liked to have seen it higher, but it was a very spirited contest.
Yeah, exactly.
So the turnout was actually approximately one-third of the registered voters. But let's remember that even in a presidential election, which creates the highest voter percentage turnout nationally, even a presidential election, you might get in an area like Newark, in the area of 50%.
Wow.
So although you might think one-third sounds small, for a local election, even in the city the size of Newark, it's not an unusual turnout. Now, historically, I will say this, though. We have a report that we just did recently which shows the history of those turnouts from the first mayoral election in Newark, which was 1954. Before that, it was a different form of government in Newark. It was called the commission form of government. But starting in 54, every 4 years, we made a record in our report of turnout. And it was significantly higher in the early years of the city, in the 50s, the later 50s, and the early 60s.
Why?
It was significantly higher.
Do you have any ideas?
Excuse me?
Do you have any ideas why? Were people, I'm thinking about transportation, you know, to get to...
Well, there's a
yeah,
great
so
many, many issues, but why do you think that was, Mr. Marasco?
Well, I mean... You know, the thing I've always loved about Newark and working here, Newark is a microcosm of the United States of America.
Yeah.
Anything that's happening nationally, when I first came to work here, rent control was a very big issue across the country, and it was a big issue in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
So Newark tends to reflect, I guess as many other cities do, what the current national issues are. Of course, maybe not in the areas of defense, although if it comes to an unpopular war, then of course you're going to have that reaction in a place like Newark, just as you would in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
But more domestic issues that are happening across the country are happening right here.
Right.
So Newark is so representative of what's happening. I think part of that is because we're in the New York metropolitan region.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the most, I would have to say, one of the most influential regions of the nation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The most densely populated from Boston to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And Newark is, New York is definitely the center of that, and we're a wonderful city in our own right, but let's face it, that's one of the, it's the number one city in the United States, and so to some degree, what happens there affects us here greatly,
right.
Economically and,
mm-hmm.
And socially and so forth. So many people who may live in Newark actually, you know, commute to New York to
right.
work.
Sure.
And we've had an influx in recent years of people moving from, let's say, Brooklyn
yeah.
or the areas of New York City to parts of Newark because the housing is so much cheaper, but
yeah.
they're still commuting to New York.
Right.
So we're right in the middle of one of the busiest areas literally in the world here in Newark. And
right.
it reflects in what happens here every day.
Bob, listen, I want to talk about the campaign now. You know,
sure.
Are you involved with the keeping records of the campaign money or the money being spent on different campaigns? And if so, first of all, does your office do that?
No. In New Jersey, there is a centralized office under the state government called
uh-huh.
ELEC, E-L-E-C, Election Law Enforcement Commission, I believe.
Yeah.
And all candidates, although we assist that office when we have an election in the distribution of their rules and regulations to the candidates must deal directly with that state government office. So as far as the ELEC reports of people's contributions and so forth, it's done through that office. However, of course, in today's environment, their reports are all on the Internet. So it makes it very easy
for public knowledge,
you know, for the public to know. But here's right. the big thing about that, Kay. Very recently, because of Supreme Court rulings,
mm-hmm.
you now have the creation of what have been nicknamed super PACs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And super PACs allow people who are unconnected directly with a campaign, a particular campaign, to, let's say they decide that Joe is running against Harry and they like Joe. Well, they can't give money to Joe's campaign directly, perhaps, because the amounts are strictly regulated. But they can form their own group to support Joe, but stay independent from Joe's campaign. And if they do that, if
that
they stay separate and apart from Joe's campaign, there are vast quantities of money that they can spend assisting Joe.
Right.
That has happened here in Newark this election for the very first time yesterday and in the weeks that preceded the election. Because those Supreme Court decisions were very recent, this is the first mayoral election where they played a very big role in the election. And the Shavar Jeffries, who apparently was the recipient of a much greater percentage of that type of money, which comes from outside sources, and much of it can be anonymous through these super PACs. He had vast groups, you know, of people out on the street and very large numbers of trucks, et cetera, campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the irony is that he, although he wasn't spending this money directly, it was being spent by people who, you know, were let's say, fighting for his cause, he was not victorious in the election. So at least in the first instant of super PACs being a major factor in a Newark mayor's election, it was not successful for the side that spent the most.
Now let me ask you along that same path. Now, being that Newark is in the position that it is geographically, we talked about it being kind of, you know, in that kind of center of the world. Oh, we have to go for a break. I'm sorry, Mr. Marasco. We got off into this conversation. We're going to finish this on the other side of the break. We'll be right back
Thank you.
The Thompson Live Show on the GoPro Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a great opportunity. If you have a product or a service, a talent or something important to say, now is your chance to have your very own radio show. Whether you're just starting out, a veteran looking for a professional platform to enhance your presentation, the GoPro Radio Network is the premier place to cultivate and share new and exciting content. We'll help you to grow your audience and keep it growing long after your first broadcast. Now you have a voice. Call 212-696-8562 today or visit www.goproradio.com and you'll be amazed at how easy and affordable it is to have your very own show on the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And we are back, everyone. Kay Thompson Live. I'm Kay Thompson, and
I'm Eric Payne. Now, Mr. Marasco, we were right in the middle of the conversation. Here's where I'm going with this. Because of the, you know, the super PACs now, Newark is in a very advantageous position where it is geographically in all of the business that's going on and you know, the industry, the potential of Newark. Do you anticipate that in the future, going forward, that we're going to see more of these super PACs to control these to influence and to try to sway elections one way or another because of the strategic and the potential for revenue that the city generates in it and you know, the prime real estate and all of that? Do you anticipate more of that?
Well, I think, yes, as I said, super PACs are already beginning to have a profound effect on election and election strategies and campaign fundraising strategies all across the country. You know, when a law becomes effective or a court decision, there's immediate reaction to that by the people who are affected by it. And that's certainly true in the case of fundraising. The only thing I would say is that, you know, tomorrow there could be another law passed in Washington that takes away what the Supreme Court granted, and then if someone challenged that new law, then that has to work its way through the court. So when it comes to campaign financing, whether it's federal, state, or local, the landscape is constantly changing and evolving as to what the rules and regulations are. So it could be that 4 years from now, super PACs will play no role in the Newark mayoral election because there may have been three different changes in the meantime over the next 4 years. So it's difficult to predict, but certainly if there's still, you know, the elephant in the room, so to speak, 4 years from now, well, they'll play a much, much larger role because I think New York is still growing, according to the last census. And because of its growth, it's greatly affected Brooklyn, places like Brooklyn, with housing prices, et cetera, places like Hoboken and Jersey City. And it's hard to think that Newark won't be next on the list. After all, you know yourselves, you go to Newark Penn Station, you're in Manhattan within minutes
That's right.
So I think Newark's strategic location becomes ever more important.
Okay, and I'm told we have Congressman Donald Payne on the other line. Congressman, we're talking to City Clerk Robert Barrasco. Thanks for joining this conversation. We're talking
Thanks,
about the election. And why don't you join in, Congressman? We just happened to be talking about super PACs. And Mr. Barrasco, we were talking about how that might potentially affect the direction of elections, particularly in Newark in the future. What's, Mr. Barrasco just gave us his opinion on it, and what's your opinion along those lines?
Well, first let me say good evening to Kay Thompson.
Good evening.
Good evening, and also to Robert P. Barrasco, the city clerk in the great city of Newark, New Jersey, who I had the fortune of working with as the president of Newark City Council. We worked very well together on a lot of issues day to day, and I think the city of Newark has the best city municipal clerk in the state in terms of the what he's done for the archiving of documents in the city. It's first rate, and good evening, Bob.
Hello, Congressman, and I just have one request. It's great to be on the air with you. You need to put that all in a letter and immediately send it to all the council people here.
He needs it.
The new ones or the old ones?
Both.
Both. Well, in terms of these super PACs, you know, the Supreme Court really did people a disservice in stating that these PACs and these, you know, these large expenditures are free speech, that companies, you know, multinational companies have the right to put as much money as they can or they feel like into the public arena. I think it's a mistake. What it's going to do is really drown out free speech, because the young guy in the city of Newark that has a great idea and a lot of promise, and I met several of them yesterday on the campaign trail, aren't going to have the wherewithal to be involved. You know, we had a piece of legislation come up in the city of Newark that it was pay to play, but it would limit the amount of money that a person could give to you in the city. And you know, I spoke against it, and you know, at the time we had a very famous mayor, and I just made the plea to my colleagues. I said, look, none of the rest of us know Oprah Winfrey. None of the rest of us, you know, have the access to this money. So the young man standing up on Martin Luther King Boulevard that wants to be part of the process in the city of Newark is never going to be able to have his message heard, because he's not going to have $5 million to spend. So I think it's a disservice to free speech in this country, actually.
And that's well said. I certainly agree with that. And I think that everybody probably would agree with that, that certainly when you start talking about the power of money in any endeavor, certainly in democracy, it is a dangerous mix, I believe. And Congressman, you supported Roz Baraka. We supported Roz Baraka. I mean, I'm sorry. We support Roz Baraka now because he's the mayor, and we hope that the city can come together, and we want to do the best for the city. But we supported you and I and our family. We support Shavard Jeffries. What's your hope? Because you've worked with Roz on the city council. What's your hope? And have you reached out to him and spoken to him? And what's your hope for the city?
Well, I last night after the results were pretty clear, I texted Mayor-elect Baraka to congratulate him.
Yep.
And I also gave him a call today to talk to him. But I, you know, the thing that we have to learn in these elections is the personal animosity has to go away. The attacking of people's character has to stop. And it has to be focused on the issues. I was very disappointed that we weren't successful, but the people spoke.
Right.
This is still an election about the people of the city of Newark. I had a certain view, and it's obvious that the people of Newark and Mayor-elect Baraka were able to get their message out, and the people have the confidence in him to lead the city forward. And I am lockstep with the city and the people of Newark.
Right.
They elect all of us to serve them. And if they elect a person to mayor, it is my obligation on the federal level to work with them. So, you know, I'm not angry today. I'm not upset. The people spoke, and they said that this is the leader that they want at this point in time, and it's really my duty to work with him in order to make sure that Newark gets the resources that it needs and anything that we can find that it deserves.
I didn't support
and, that's my job.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Marasco, would you like to comment on that as well? How necessary? I know you have your thoughts and probably agree, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on that as well.
Well, certainly, it's hard to disagree with the congressman. We've had our own private discussions about things such as this, which he was talking about a few moments ago as to the Supreme Court decision. It truly drowns, has the potential to drown out the common man and woman who would like to enter politics, or even the citizen who wants to contribute, in their very limited means to a candidate who they believe in. And it changes the architecture of our democracy, I think, in a negative way. So on that in that area, I couldn't agree with him more. And of course, I think it's the sworn duty, as he said so eloquently, the congressman, it's our sworn duty, whether we're appointed officials or elected officials, to work together. The politics has its time and its important reason to move democracy forward all the time. But aside from those election times, it's all of our duties as public officials to work together for the betterment of the people we represent. And you can't carry the politics 365 days because that does not serve the public well at all.
Very well said. I certainly agree with that, Mr. Marasco. We want to say thank you, Mr. Robert Marasco, clerk of the City of Newark, for joining us tonight and giving us your insight. It was really eye-opening and very beneficial, educational, also the historical aspect, which I really get to. And I'm going to come visit you, and we could talk history a little bit
Wonderful.
More.
Wonderful.
Congressman, great. You're going to stay with us. We're getting ready to go to a break. But thank you very much, Mr. Marasco.
Thank you so much again for having me on.
Thanks, Bob.
No pleasure.
We'll talk soon. Congressman, have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Congressman, we got about a minute before the break, but you spoke about something, and we talk about this all the time, and Mr. Marasco said it great, very eloquently. You know, the time for politics is over. It is time to move a city forward and put our best hopes behind Mayor-elect Baraka.
Right.
And to support him, because the city, as we all know, is in fairly dire straits, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've actually spoken to him. I know that you've communicated that to him several times. What do you plan to do to kind of to help the city move and to help kind of, you know, bridge the divide? Also, because we know that he did not win with a mandate. He won with about 53% of the vote, so that's certainly not a mandate with the vote. So we know that the person we supported was about 40-some-odd percent, didn't get the majority percentage, but it was not a mandate. So what's your plan to kind of, you know, let everybody know, like you said, that let's leave the personality aspect and all come together to work together for the good of
the city.
I want you to think about that. We've got to go to a break. Hold on. We've got to go to a break real quick. Think about that. We'll come back on the other side real quick, all right? On the Kay Thompson Live Show, I'm Eric Payne. That's my mom, Kay Thompson. The lady over there that I gave the finger to, if you're watching on Ustream, Diana, we'll be right back. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
GoPro Radio, the fastest growing network in the galaxy, is leaner and meaner with a new attitude, new technology, and a brand new lineup. Tune in and get wired every Wednesday, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern with the BCS Experience featuring Byron C. Saunders, formerly of New York City's WBAI. Then at 6 p.m., it's the Black Agenda TV Express featuring sought-out political commentator Glenn Ford, formerly of America's Black Forum. Then at 8 p.m., it's time for Kay Thompson Live with the legendary radio host Kay Thompson of Inner City Broadcasting's WLIB and her son, renowned actor Eric Payne, who starred in such films as Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, Drop Squad, and many more. Then, at 9 p.m., it's Food Wrap, featuring Nina Markel, a.k.a. the unofficial mayor of Jersey City, and former Viacom marketing guru Shauna Glover. Last but not least, at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's the Sexy Party Show with the bad boy of dating Mr. Locario of I Love New York fame and his partner in crime, Miles Cunningham. So get wired every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern only on the GoPro Radio Network, www.goproradio.com. Listen to the voices in your head.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network, listen to the voices in your head.
And we're back on the Kay Thompson Live Show. I'm the son, Eric Payne. That's the mom
of Eric Payne. And the aunt and the cousin of Donald Payne.
What's your name?
Oh, Kay Thompson.
Okay. All right, Congressman, go ahead, answer the question. What's your plan to bring in, you know, let people know we got to work together as a leader of the community? What do you, what have you been telling people? I kind of have an idea, but what have you been telling people about where we move forward from here or how we move forward from here?
Well, I mean, you know, it's clear and simple. The people have spoken.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the elected official on the federal level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is now the mayor-elect on the municipal level.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I care about my community. I care about my constituents. And so, you know, I don't have time for all of that other foolishness.
Right.
You know, it's my obligation to work with the mayor to make the quality of life for the residents in the city of Newark and the 10th Congressional District the best it can be. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm ready to roll my sleeves up and get to work. The mayor will have, go in July 1 and take a look at where he is and make an assessment of what he needs. And then, he reaches out to his federal representatives to see how they can be helpful in any of those areas. So
right.
It's a matter of, you know, him reaching out to me. I'm going to let him know that I'm here and ready to work, but they have to reach out to me. I don't know what they need. I don't know what their situation is, so they have to make it clear to us where they are, what they need, and ask us how we can help. And then it's incumbent upon us to figure out what we can do to help them. So, and I'm ready and willing July 1st to do that.
Right.
And even if they want to have discussions earlier than that, that's fine. But he becomes the mayor on July 1st. He's the mayor-elect now. I'm sure there'll be a transition team. And they have a lot of work to do in the city to get ready for the new administrations. But I'm ready and waiting.
Mm-hmm. And also, too, what I like to see happen in the city of Newark and just in politics in general within our community, at the very least we can start there and encourage it in other communities, But the level of discourse, the level of discussion, as we have, like you said, you know, people made it about personalities, and we're kind of used to that now, our family, because we've been in the political structure. But one of the things I know that we experienced as children was when we would attend meetings with our fathers or whatever, that there seemed to be a little bit, as a child, you don't know how to process kind of when the adults are arguing with each other and they're going back and forth, certainly in an environment like that. And it always seemed like there was an attacking aspect. It seemed a little personal to the family, and which is why some of us shied away from getting involved from in public life from a political standpoint. But what we need to do is raise the level of discourse in our community and raise the level of knowledge where people aren't just acting so much on emotion without being educated about the issues and about the process. So that's what we need to do in terms of raising that. That level, and I know you certainly agree with that. We can hear you loud and clear, everybody that's in the car with you there, that if you're picking up some people. Hear his opinion, but don't you think that that's necessary, Congressman, that we raise that level of discourse and have people be a more educated populace?
Yes, I agree, but you have to crawl before you walk. And, you know, we have a lot of work to do in terms of getting to that level in which you're discussing. And, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, as I stated earlier, I mean, you know, we have to be able to agreeably disagree. And, you know, because you do not subscribe to an idea that someone else has, or you don't do this or that, that, you know, you become persona non grata, or we're going to have to get you, and, you know, that's not what it is. It's a contest of ideas, and, you know, we have to continue to do it in a respectful and cordial manner.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward, and you know, that's what I try to demonstrate in you know, my activity here in terms of political offices, and I'll continue to do that. This is not this is not personal for me. It's not about who you are and what you look like. It's a matter of how best you can serve this community, and we're going to disagree with people at different times. But once the contest is over, then it's time to govern. And
right.
That's where we are right now, and that's what, you know, I'm going to do.
That's well said.
Yeah.
And that puts a button on the end of that. We're just about to the end of the show. We got about 2 minutes. We're going to wrap up. Congressman Donald Payne, Jr., as always, thanks for calling in. Thanks for giving us your perspective and letting us know.
Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be talking to you again soon.
And,
Very good.
Talk
right.
to you later. Sounds like you have some of them little pains in the car with you. But tell them I said what's up. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thank you very much. So,
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. So we're running on, what, about 1 minute there, lady?
Yeah.
Afro.
We do hope that people... we do hope...
Nice afro.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a good election,
sure.
A spirited election. People were involved in the process.
But now it's time to work together.
Now it's time to work together.
For the good, you know, of the community.
For our people.
That's right.
You
sure.
know? So,
for everyone.
We wish Raz, Mayor-elect Raz Baraka,
of course.
The
congratulations,
utmost,
Raz.
The utmost courage and blessings that your administration and your tenure will be successful for all of us and fruitful for all of us.
Yeah.
And certainly his father is watching down on him. I must say that I was inspired by his father to go into show business. And when I found out that this man from Newark went out and made it, and you and my father said that I could talk to him, it was an inspiration to me. And that's something that I don't know if Mr. Barack ever knew, but we had a cool relationship. And so I'll always be supportive.
Well, we've always been
sons.
Friends with Amiri Baraka and Amina Baraka.
Exactly.
They're always good friends of mine, and they will always be in on our hearts.
Hit us next week on the Kay Thompson Live Show. Thanks for tuning in. You can listen to us repeatedly on GoPro Radio and the archives.
This
if you play the music one more time when I'm talking, play the music one more time when I'm talking. See what happened, lady. Thanks. See you later. GoPro Radio Network.
Poncho Sanchez!